Attention, attention. News of the day. In that there was considerable interest in the Opium War of 1840, in the background of China's natural nationalistic feelings and racism towards people of Caucasoid background. Obviously, the Opium War occurred in China in the year 1840. The opponents were England versus China, some of our early ancestors, the Europeans, the white. What was the provocation for it? The East India Company of England, suffering an adverse balance of trade with China, decided to make up its financial losses by pouring illegal opium into China for some quick profits. So that is the way it was, and the person had that correct last evening. I've done some research and written this up. So they wanted to make up for their imbalance of trade. Apparently, they were buying more from China than they were selling. So they wanted to pour illegal opium into China for some quick profits and get the Chinese addicted to that horrible dope. Out of opium comes all of the major addictive drugs, the narcotics. The Chinese Imperial Commissioner, Lin Zaisu, TZE-SU, ordered all British opium destroyed. England declared war because of this honorable leader of China, long before their socialist revolution, would not have his people being destroyed by opium, even though it could have meant profit for him. This was the beginning era of capitalism, really. The East India Company was one of the big multinationals, you might say, of exploitation. The results were that England declared war because the Chinese leader, Commissioner Lin Zaisu, ordered all the opium destroyed and would not allow his people to be addicted to these horrible narcotics. The result was that British gunboats smashed Chinese fortifications. 1842, China surrendered after much killing, massacre, and torture of their people. They were forced to give up Hong Kong. Today it belongs to England, one of England's few possessions. It's outrageous that a part of mainland China should belong to anyone but China. Hong Kong means sweet stream. To the British, they had to give it up and pay a $21 million indemnity. And the British contributed to pour opium and continue to do it, to pour opium into China. In 1900, the Chinese tried to get their revenge for this horrible act of massacre of their people, because you know what narcotics do. They destroy body and mind. And they were humiliated. The Boxers, actual name, Righteousness and Harmony Society, and having nothing to do with boxing except Chinese word for society, sounds like fist. Anyway, the Boxers, a secret organization of 40,000 patriotic militants, tried to throw foreigners out of their country, and rightfully so. England, United States, Germany, Tsarist Russia before the Socialist Revolution, France, Japan, all imperialists acting in concert, acting in total alliance, sent in 16,000 troops to put down this brave Boxer Rebellion, which meant righteousness and harmony society. And they succeeded. The Chinese had to pay an indemnity running into millions and millions of dollars. Although the U.S. returned about $12 million, half of its indemnity to China in later years to corrupt regimes, they had to give up Hong Kong to the British and had to allow foreign nations to establish legation quarters and troops in Peking, the present capital of Communist China. It was not only until six decades later, 60 years later, that China got even. In 1965, Premier Chou Enlai of the People's Republic of Communist China, speaking to President Gamal Abdel Nasser, reportedly killed by the CIA, who was the president of Egypt at the time, explained one reason for the demoralization of American troops in South Vietnam. Some of them are trying opium, and we are helping them. We are planting the best kinds of opium, especially for the American soldiers in Vietnam who are oppressing our Vietnamese brothers and sisters. Do you remember when the West imposed opium on us, said Chou Enlai? They fought us with opium, and we are going to fight them back with their own weapons. It was paradoxical that this was the one form of justice that the Chinese got for the horrible massacres that were conducted against them in the Opium War and in the Boxer Rebellion, when they tried to free themselves from the hold of narcotics on their people. And at that time, capitalist Germany, capitalist Russia, before their October 1917 revolution, that's why they have such despicable regard for Russia. France, or distrusted would be a better word, France, capitalist France, Japan, imperialist Japan, England, USA, all sent in thousands of troops to put down that brave rebellion called the Boxer Rebellion, which was really, in actuality, named Righteousness and Harmony Society, and having nothing to do with boxing whatsoever. That was just U.S. propaganda and other European white man's propaganda about the situation in China. This gives you the background of the Opium War and some of the distrust that China now has, and unfortunately has carried over a high degree of nationalism in the present time. Jarvis, the one who succeeded, the legislature who succeeded in bringing Proposition 13 that has absolutely destroyed the education and welfare, Medicaid, Medi-Cal systems of California, made California use all of its reserves they'd built up over many years of conservative administration, $5 billion, is now launching a nationwide campaign. He's moved from thousands that he addressed in Fort Worth to literally thousands in the tens of thousands in New York, and he has even larger crowds in Boston. He is demanding, as you know, a reduction of taxes for the upper middle class at best, but primarily the rich. He wants to eliminate all taxes on capitalists. Monopoly capitalists. He wants to do away with capital gains. We now have a 10th case of bubonic plague that's broken out in Colorado. Bubonic plague has not ceased. Not only was it in New Mexico, it is now in Colorado. No statistics were given and very little evaluation of the prognosis or the outcome of what this means to the United States public. The bubonic plague is obviously giving USA some problems these days. Remember, all the news now will be responsible, each will be responsible for all the news, because the news of last night was very, very short, and news will not be, except for today, as long through Tuesday, the few days that our guest will be here. So, everyone listen to all of the news. We're all responsible. Kennedy's assassination. A patrolman has stepped forward with evidence on a number of occasions because his two-way radio was open at the time of the assassination, which proves to audio experts that there were seven shots. The Warren Commission has always insisted that there were only three and one lone assassin. They're going back today, in fact, in Dallas, to try to synchronize visual, taking photographs, moving cameras, with sound to see if this is not an accurate appraisal. Every audio scientific expert has confirmed that there are seven shots. Indeed, it has always been said that Oswald, in the few seconds, could not have even fired three. But now, we find that there were seven. This gives credence to the theories of executive action that has been written by our esteemed guest that will be in this afternoon, author Don Freed. He assisted in Parallax View. His major work was Executive Action and the play on the Rosenbergs and other works that we tell you about later on. The scene of the assassination is being reenacted today in Dallas to test how the shots could possibly have been reported by all authorities as only being three. If they get close again, if they don't do the whitewash that the black congressman, Uncle Tom Stokes, did against James Earl Ray. He's a rich Uncle Tom. He's had his troubles with the law, too. He ought to realize that no black leader is safe in USA these days. He's a newspaper publisher and trying to be a nice house black, a very servile, good servant to the ruling circles. The NAACP in Columbus, Ohio, are asking for reinstituting of busing for school integration, as the schools of Columbus have gone into total segregation, as have many of the major cities in USA. Two societies, separate and unequal, as the Kerner Commission said several years ago. He predicted this would happen in America. Governor Kerner was then later framed, the governor of Illinois, and spent his remaining years in jail, where he died of cancer. Senator Herman Talmadge seeks re-election in 1980. He is under investigation now. The Senate has not even brought him before the Ethics Committee, as they did his black counterpart, the only black senator, Senator Brook. Several charges are against him. He's sort of a maverick, though, and takes it independent, very arch-conservative line. But in fitting with the Parallax View, this would not be suitable to the interest of monopoly capitalism. They want robots. They don't want people of the right or the left rocking their boat. Charges are some ridiculous, unclear generalizations about bribes in a park scandal, but this was not even gone into detail on the radio. Nonetheless, his white connections with other states' writers, he has certainly been no way a good supporter of integration. his connections with the state's writers and the racist senators from the South and the Midwest has at this point kept him coming before the Senate Ethics Committee. However, Senator Brooke, black but looked white and has always acted the Uncle Tom role, was brought before the Senate Ethics Committee over a divorce proceeding. Senator Talmadge is criminal proceedings, but the civil proceedings of a divorce caused Senator Brooke to have to meet the Senate Ethics Committee. Brownsville, Texas, a ship was seized containing $25 million worth of marijuana. The boat was not registered and was stopped for a routine check. The boat tried to avoid the check, and this is how the stuff was found. Of course, as typical of Voice of America and USA Broadcasting, they would not say what corporation, what multinational, was involved in this operation. Though it was clearly pointed out in BBC, British Broadcasting Corporation, that such was the case. Remember now that all of us should be asking our neighbor about our Prime Minister, Forbes Burnham, knowing who he is, the bravery of his stands, how he has helped the people by bringing the means of production and the means of distribution into the hands of the people. Also, that he is the head of the People's National Congress. That's our party, PNC. The opposition party is the People's Progressive Party that established the precedent, though they are Marxist, was very, very uncalled for, a panjat, vote your own kind. New York City newspapers are still on strike, the 12th day. Newspapers, unions, the guild unions, are losing more of their rights by legislations that are going counter to the interest of the unions, limiting the amount of people that a trade union can, in the newspaper industry, a guild union can actually have in its membership, thus weakening their power, the people's power, the labor class power, to resist the oppressive conditions of working for the big multiple multinational chains that own most of the nation's newspaper and media industry. All TV, radio, and newspapers these days, for most practical purposes, are held by big capitalist chains. Bogota, Colombia. 2 days ago, you remember, the leftist coalition, strong leftist coalition there, communists, socialists, Trotskyites, condemned 15 people who have been what the capitalists call government witnesses, what people call informers, are finks. They captured them in their residences in the beautiful capital of Bogota, Colombia, held a people's court, and summarily executed all of them. They have struck again, just 100 miles from the capital of Colombia in Bogota, killing 4 U.S. engineers and 5 others critically engineered. The engineer station was called by them a CIA outpost of spying and intimidation against the working class in Colombia that is getting their act very well organized. 8 American congressmen will be visiting next week to the Republic of Vietnam, the Socialist Republic Reunified, that has been an ally of the Soviet Union, to try to see if normalization of relations can come about. TASS accuses the Chinese of distorting Soviet history because of the Prime Minister, who's visiting in Romania, making certain attacks on the Soviets for the handling of Stalin. Prime Minister of China had nothing but the highest praise for Joseph Stalin, who carried the Soviet people through the horrible World War II years, even fighting on the outskirts of the city. He died penniless. He was called the Man of Steel. Stalin means the Man of Steel. Many Euro-communist, revisionist, and presently, though it's less, a number of Soviets consider him an strong-arm person in terms of tactics during his dictatorship of the proletariat as he was trying to build the first socialist society. He inherited the Soviet Union just 4 years after its revolution, when Vladimir Lenin, the founder, the leader that brought about the revolution in October 1917, died from a horrible number of strokes. Some have suggested that he even was poisoned by people around him. His death was very, very bad indeed. Interestingly enough, Joseph Stalin died in the same way. He was literally suffocated by a number of strokes. He held out strongly in the early 50s, 1953, when he died. He was cyanotic for 2 days, utterly blue, gasping from strokes in his passing. However, he lived to a healthy number of years. He was in his middle 70s. Analysis of Carter as the president. Gotten into a high risk at the Camp David summit, says Carter. If it fails, he will get the blame and even questions if he will ever then be successful in running again as president. Much rests on the summit meeting between Egypt, Sadat, who the Arabs continue to believe is a sellout to Arab League interest, and Israel, who all Arabs consider as nothing less than a racist, a Zionist. In fact, the United Nations have declared that Zionism is a form of racism. Carter vetoed the Defense Authorization Bill. He did not want another nuclear warship. He said it was nothing but wasteful expenditure, and charged that certain members of Congress were influenced by powerful lobby interest to build a ship that is not necessary, even though it cost upwards of $2 billion instead of $2 million. $2 billion. He went against, for the first time, Senator Stennis. Senator Stennis is the head of the Armed Services Committee, the only person that really knows anything about CIA activities. We all remember Senator Stennis, or we should, from last night. He is the senator we found was behind the two Air Force officers who were supposed to be doing their duties at Kessler Air Force Base, but we found through our evidence were in fact in California attempting to do violence, no doubt, on our church and the black visiting mayor, Unita Mae Blackwell Wright, mayor of Fayetteville, Mississippi. How do we know that it was them? Could it have been someone forged their names? No. Everyone has to give proper identification to rent a U rental. But even say they had connections to get that done, someone else assuming that role. From our investigations in Mississippi, through the daughter of one, the wife of another, the domestic servant or maid of another, we found that they both were indeed in California on that weekend, though the U.S. Air Force denied it, and everyone else that we contacted. The congressman never could get Senator Stennis to respond. None of them could get Senator Stennis to respond. One that went after Senator Stennis strongly was a man we never knew, Congressman Miller, a white man in New York, who was later, as you know, framed on a homosexual charge, and no doubt his career ruined forever. It's that point that we were told by Editor Gavin of the San Francisco Chronicle that this was too big, we'd gone too far. It was a Waterloo. He would not print it. Only Dr. Carlton Goodlett printed the story in part. Just a few days after we had proven this connection, and those Air Force officers who were not supposed to be in any way working for a member of Congress, but were in the Air Force supposedly working in administration to protect the U.S. people and their defense system, we found they had a personality cult for Senator Stennis. Then, thereafter, we found, when we took them on, that just within days, Deanna Myrtle, Grace, Cobbs, a number of others, hired with a criminal Mazur, who managed to get a license in California as a detective, even though he had spent 10 years and had been convicted on 75 different charges, he was able to get this license, and Governor Brown said there was nothing he could do about it. So the connection of the beginning of our conspiracy is ironclad. It began at that awesome moment when we reached too high to be honest and truthful, to find corrupt Watergate practices still going on, not by a president at that time, but by the senator who oversees the CIA, Central Intelligence Agency, and is the overseer of the Armed Services Committee. Well, for the first time, President Carter is in direct conflict with Stennis. Senator Stennis said sharply that Carter is wrong and that he should have passed the defense bill with the nuclear carrier that Senator Stennis wanted. Senator Stennis has long been accused of bowing to various multinational corporations and granting defense building things that are not necessary in any way, in fact have no utility at all to the defense or the offense system of USA. Carter did make compromise language on deregulation on gas prices. He had demanded strict regulation because gas was getting out of control. Gas and fuel for the American public, particularly natural gas, but the Congress pressured, lobbying interests pressured, and finally Carter made compromise. Many say price increases will be intolerable now that the gas utilities have been deregulated, the electric company, so forth, electricity and gas. The decline of the dollar is having a telling effect and worrying everyone in USA and all of the capitalist lackeys of North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, or the European Common Market. The Federal Reserve Board is being asked to raise their lending interest rates by 0.5% to try to do something about the falling dollar that is almost out of control. Senator Moss, when asking a question of the Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare, appointed by President Carter, to deliver the files and the facts that he had on all the big multinational drug companies, corporations, pharmaceutical multinational corporations, he flatly told Senator Moss no. Senator Moss, in a very calm voice, said, "I find you in contempt." And his committee, in a very close vote, upheld that contempt proceeding against the Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare. Califano, the Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare, said he cannot give the information that Senator Moss's committee is requesting because the Attorney General of the United States, Bell, former member of the Ku Klux Klan, highest law enforcement officer in USA, appointed by President Carter, has told him he cannot give them. Senator Moss wants information on the ingredients in drugs that are being overcharged to the American people to the tune of 30 or 40 times what it really cost. It's a dispute over trade names versus generic components, or what really the pills, the medications are comprised with or composed with. Several small companies have said that they can make the very same pill for 30 and 40 times less than the American people pay for them at the drugstore or in the doctor's office if given the opportunity. That all people are buying is a brand name, which does not help anyone's health, but big business. It's an effort, the checking of pricing, making comparisons, and Senator Moss has been, and his committee has been frustrated on every angle.